Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, our special guest today is not horsing around when it comes to providing quality pet care. Her quality of care is so great that her company has been named, you ready for it? Business of the Year by the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. Please welcome to our show, Lucy Cryan. Welcome to the show, Lucy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
That's a pretty big title. Business of the Year. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty nice.
Well, folks, I want you to know that they call it NAPS, but N-A-P-P-S, and the people who are professional pet sitters and are members of that group, they're not taking a lot of cat naps. They work very hard. They're licensed. They're insured. They're bonded. They are continually taking courses to learn how to be better at business, better with pet care. And so every year they have this big contest and you have to submit this lengthy application. Judges consider all of them. And at the very end, they said, you know what? Lucy Cryan, she's the one. So when you found out that your company, Cryan Enterprises, was named to be the top dog, if you will, of the NAPS pet sitting world, did you faint? Did you cry? Did you have a shot of whatever? How was your response?
I didn't faint. I didn't cry. I told my husband, and we were both driving in the car because it came on my phone while I was in the car. I wasn't driving.
So. Oh, that's good.
But we both gave a high five as we were driving down the street. And then I promptly told a few of my clients, some of the ones that were nice enough to recommend me for the award. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
And we got a shout out to Kevin. That's your husband, right?
Correct.
Because he likes to hear probably his name on the air. You actually are on the longest running pet podcast on the planet.
Wow.
And while you were winning Business of the Year, we found out last week that O-Behave with my producer, Mark Winter, has been named the best pet podcast of the year.
Wow. Congratulations. That's pretty cool.
And I didn't have a husband named Kevin while driving to find out that news. But, you know, we're kind of in parallel universes.
Right.
So,
very nice.
Cryan Enterprises, C-R-Y-A-N. You're in Ohio.
Yeah, I am.
That doesn't have a cat or dog name in it because you do more than just pets. Tell us a little bit about what Cryan Enterprises is all about.
Well, actually, I started as concierge services primarily. I mean, that was really what I had planned to do after I retired from my previous life in higher ed. And couple of my clients asked if I would take care of their pets as part of my concierge services. And I said, yes. And then of course, you know how that spreads. They told friends who started contacting me. And of course I love it because who doesn't love playing with pets and hanging out with other people's pets? And it just kind of took off. So, you know, it started out as a small piece, but now it's about 80% of my business.
You started your business after retiring from, is it Otterbein University in Westerville, Ohio. What did you do there on campus?
I was there for so long. I had multiple positions.
Okay.
But the longest position, I worked in the equine science department for 18 years. So I started as a riding instructor and coach back in 1994. And then became the director, and then we moved to a new facility, and then I think I had another title change. I don't remember what it is exactly. And then I had to take some medical time off, and after that, I transferred over to on-campus fundraising, and then part of that was events, and then ended up as a business manager for a new facility that they use in partnership with the community, actually. So that's where I finished before.
You know what I like, though? We sometimes think we're going to script our lives, right, Lucy?
Oh, not possible.
And then you get a curve. You got many curves, but you, you landed with your feet right in the stirrups, right?
I think I did pretty well. Yeah, thanks.
I want you to talk a little bit about it because you've hit some pretty big challenges medically and then launching Cryon Enterprises. You launched it in January of 2020, correct?
Yes. Worst time possible.
Absolutely. Let's talk about COVID. So, I mean, you're all ready to go. You're launching it and then all of a sudden the world shuts down.
Right. And I, you know, there was a little bit of a hint that something might happen, but I don't think anybody knew what that was going to be like. So yeah, my timing wasn't so great, but I actually got lucky a couple months in. I got a gig as part of my concierge or personal assistant, and I was a personal assistant to a contractor. So that held me for a few because she kept me pretty busy. And then, you know, at some point she really needed help with a really large project. And then, you know, that was wrapping up and I had other pieces were starting to pick up. So I got pretty lucky, but I also, when I retired, you know, I planned for worst case scenario because
that's good. That's a good tip.
Right. You can't leave a good job for a new business just not knowing. So I knew if I didn't make it in the first year, I could get back in the regular workforce, or, you know, we could even be fine. My husband has not retired yet. So I had that padding as well. So it was okay, but it was not what I planned. It wasn't ideal to try to launch a business during COVID. And obviously the pet, I hadn't even started the pet park, but nobody was going anywhere. Nobody needed any pets walked during COVID. They were all home. So.
And then prior to that, people need to know the name Lucy Cryon, because you were a pretty amazing equestrian. Tell us, it's okay to say something cool about what you've done, because you've done really major competitions on horses. So what would be like a pinnacle?
Well, a pinnacle. I've ridden most of my life until, you know, a few years back. And I've ridden all different styles of riding and competing throughout the years, you know, starting when I was a young child, but really got involved in dressage probably in the late 80s. Had a wonderful coach in Michigan. I lived in Michigan at the time, and she really got me hooked. And so I really started doing the dressage thing. I had a off the track thoroughbred, a former racehorse. I didn't have a fancy horse. She didn't cost a lot of money. In fact, she cost less than $1,000.
What was her name?
Her name was Sky, or Sky's Weekend. But people used to laugh because my name's Lucy and her name's Sky. And we all know a famous song of Lucy and the Sky. So yeah, that was kind of cute. But anyway, I competed with her for many years. And when she was ready for a break is when I started my own human family. So I then, after I had kids, I got right back into it with another horse after I retired her. And through United States Dressage Federation, I have a bronze and a silver medal, which basically you have to, it's pretty cool. You have to score certain levels and you turn in your scores from judges in order to get the medals.
That's nice. What horse was that?
So Sky achieved most of the scores with Sky. And then I bought another horse. His name was Poet. And I finished my scores with Poet. So, but again, that's been a long time ago. And then after I never got my gold. Gold is Grand Prix level. Poet was not suitable. And I already had a family at that point. And I continued to train and ride and had some younger prospects, younger horses. And then, of course, I was coaching teams and working with my students. So
for the average person like me that knows more about cats and dogs than horses, what is dressage for us mere mortals that don't ride on a saddle?
The classic, most people have heard of the Lipizzan stallions. So that's dressage. Now, that is a different level than what most of us do in competition. That's more, they do more performance art. So they're doing, they're doing things that are a little beyond. Other people describe it as ballet, horse ballet. You know, basically, it's very time consuming because you train and you have to basically be in control of every step of your horse. You know, everything, every step they make, you're trying to improve or to do the next thing. And you're judged on every movement or every change of every transition. It's pretty intense. It's kind of a, I don't know. It takes a perfectionist, I think.
Well, there's your personality.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I also did some jumping. I did some eventing. And those things are fun. And you have to be pretty perfect for that, too. But it's a little different. You know, there's a different type of concentration. But I loved it.
Well, I just put this together. I think you reached for the sky and you were poetry in motion with those two horses.
Oh, look at that. You got them both.
And everyone, we're speaking with the business of the year for the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. We're talking to Lucy Cryan. We're going to take a brief break and we're going to talk about her role now as a top dog in the professional pet sitting world. But you all know the drill. We got to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tamar Geller, life coach for Dog and the People, and I invite you to listen to Arden Moore on Whole Behave Show on Pet Life Radio.
I'm delighted. If I had a tail, I'd be wagging it right now, but you know.
I'm wagging mine.
All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the All Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I'm talking with Lucy Cryan. She is the Business of the Year by the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. Let's just stick to NAPS. It's easier to say. And what I like about it is they selected you. You don't have this gigantic company, and you don't just help dogs and cats. Your company, Cryan Enterprises in Ohio, is also helping people who have horses, maybe, and farm animals. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have a lot of horse experience, and I have had sheep, and I worked with 4-H clubs. So we work with a lot of different animals, including poultry, you know, chickens and so on. So between myself and the two gals, my independent contractors, we have a lot of experience with a lot of different animals. It's a little different.
It's not boring, that's for sure. So caring for different animals, there's some people that are in the city that want to have chickens. Is there a chicken tip you can give? Because you are a top professional pet sitter. What's something you could tell people who want to have chickens? Yeah, give me a chicken care tip.
Oh my gosh, I don't know that I have a chicken care tip. I mean, just make sure you know what you're getting into, right?
Yeah, make sure that cage is secure, right?
They take a lot of attention, and other animals like to get in and get your chickens, which unfortunately happens even in the city. I mean, make sure that your coop and everything is well secured. It's impossible to not even do chickens to not get attached.
Yeah, they have personalities.
They really do. And they're kind of delicate sometimes. And there's a lot of predators. So chickens are a tough one. But
what about horses? Because tell us where you live in Ohio. What kind of, is it rural, suburban? What is it? And what would be a couple of tips? Or what do you do for horses as a pet sitter?
Well, I'm in a suburb of Columbus. So, well, there are horses, and actually Otterbein has the whole farm in actual Westerville, but we're close. We have rural area all around us. And, you know, basically it's not just me and my contractors, we do whatever is necessary when people are out of town. Basically it's cleaning stalls, feeding horses, medicating if necessary. you know, whatever they need done. I'll even do appointments where I'll go and meet the farrier if the owner is not available, because the farrier needs somebody to hold the horse, or the vet needs somebody to handle the animal while they're working. So we'll do that. Pretty much anything you need. And of course, with my experience as a former trainer, you know, I could even exercise necessary. So that's a little above and beyond of what we typically do.
But I like that. And don't you think, if I'm a horse and I see Lucy crying coming up to me, I think I'm in good hoofs, aren't I?
I hope so.
I know. But I mean, do you think there is such a thing as horse sense?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Primarily, it's confidence. You know, if a handler is not confident when they approach them, then they're nervous because they think they're flight animals by nature. So if they feel that you're nervous, then their instinct tells them to flee. So, you know, as long as you're confident and walk up to them, I don't mean aggressive in any sense, but you are confident and happy and comfortable, then they're happy and comfortable and confident as well. So that's the biggest thing.
And you also do a lot of cats and dogs, right?
Yes, that's mostly what we have is cats and dogs.
So you're walking into somebody's house. You've already done the meet and greet. They met and the pet was on their best behavior. Now mom or dad is gone. And Lucy crying walks in the door. What do you do for these dogs or cats if they try to be a little uppity? How do you say, hey, it's me, Lucy? Because I think that's a challenge.
It is a challenge. But honestly, I have great, great pets I work with. And I haven't really had that problem. But I always, always, always have treats in my pocket.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, most pets, well, dogs in particular, a treat will usually get them over the hump. I mean, I have had some cats that were a little testy, you know, that hide. They're afraid. I had one cat that climbed up into the springs of the couch. Took me 45 minutes to find her. Yeah. And she needed medication because she has seizures. So it wasn't just, okay, I'll put out your food and I can come back and find you later. I had to find her. And of course, the owner was on a plane, so I couldn't even contact the owner. It was just, you know, one
perfect
of those
storm.
Things. And she's a Persian, and Persians can be a little persnickety about who they like and who they don't like. So that was probably the most challenging first visit I've had. Luckily, thank goodness, my dogs have all been great. I think I have one dog that's a little shy, but if you just sit still and just take your time, they get over it. And in fact, you know, right now I have a cat that the owner knew to me. And the owner said, well, I'll probably hide. No, he met me at the door. You know, he was lonely enough probably because his person was gone. But yeah, I mean, you just, again, even the same as horses, if you have confidence and you're not afraid and you have treats and you speak nicely to them.
That's good. Have you ever had any strange request from a pet parent on how to care or how to feed a dog or a cat? Sometimes when I talk to pet sitters, there's been some wacky requests. What, can you name one?
Nothing too wacky, but some really routine oriented dogs. Like, you know, there's two dogs and this one has to go in this crate, but you have to make sure that you feed him first. But this one can go out without his harness or a leash, but the other one has to be on, you know, like timing just like this. You know, there's some that are so routine and they have quirks like, if even in the fenced in yard, if he's not on a leash, he'll get away from you and you'll never be able to catch him. And so, yeah, some of them seem a little weird. Like maybe if you worked with them, maybe you could get beyond it, but it's okay. Like I'm happy to, if the dog is doing their normal routine, dogs, multiple cats, whatever, their normal routine. I mean, I have some that leave me all sorts of fancy treats, you know, like they'll have in the fridge, they'll have special things ready and for me to give the pets. But again, it's okay. Like I haven't found anything unreasonable.
It sounds like it's demonstrating that people love their pets. And especially as we got through COVID, they really kept us sane. People are getting back to traveling. There's some of them going back to their offices. You're a professional pet sitter. So what would be a few tips you could share with people on how to really pick a quality person to come in and care for their pets and, you know, and do other things at the house while they're away? Because that's really paramount.
Well, that's where NAPS comes in. I mean, I tell people all the time. If I have calls, people outside my area, or I can't take them because I'm booked or whatever, I always tell them to look at NAPS first, see if they can find somebody who is certified, who is taking classes, who's insured is key. They have to have insurance, bonded if they're not the ones personally coming, if their staff is coming for them. And if they can't find anybody in the area on NAPS, there are other associations that have the same type of thing, which is fine. And then references, get references and talk to the references. You know, don't just get a list, but actually make a phone call, because that's really, really important. I mean, if you're having somebody in your home, it's really important. So that's really the biggest thing is just, and do the meet and greet. Make sure that your pet gets along. And if it's not a good match, find somebody else. Because sometimes that happens. There are dogs or cats or horses that sometimes don't click with a certain personality or have a fear of XYZ. I don't know, men sometimes, cats. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes a match isn't going to be good. Or you bring them in your house for meet and greet and there's something that doesn't feel right to you as the owner. Don't feel bad. Just say, thanks. It was great meeting you, and find somebody that you feel comfortable with.
So a couple of sites I want you to name. Tell everybody your website, if they're in the Ohio area where you are, and how they can get hold of the NAPS, people at NAPS.
So Crying Enterprises is mine. Super easy. CryingEnterprises.com. You can't get any easier than that. And then NAPS.
PetSitters.org.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can type in NAPS on your Google search and it'll come right up. It's the first or second thing that you see. So you can get in there, and then there's a, I don't know what the heading is, but there's a way to look for pet care providers in your area. So that's really helpful. And I've gotten a couple of really good clients from that site. Ones that were going the extra mile to find the right person to do what they needed to do. And that's where I got my first client whose mother lives in assisted living. So that was a really good start working with people in assisted living and their animals.
That's a good point. Yeah. I like that.
And I found my very first one through NAPS. I mean, she found me through NAPS because it was so important to her to have the right person with her 90-year-old mom who was in congestive heart failure but loved her cat more than anything in the world. So she wanted to make sure she got somebody who was very reputable. And you know, so NAPS has really helped me out with getting started in that little weird niche.
Well, you've come a long way from being a little girl with a pony named Tom Collins, right?
Right.
To champion horses named Sky and Poet. You work a lot, but I've always been curious, as pet sitters, when you get some downtime, when you get to take a break, what do you like to do, or where would you like to visit? What's something that really, that's my getaway. What is your getaway as a professional pet sitter?
Well, I love to travel. But, you know, I, of course, have pets, so we have to make arrangements if we're going to travel without them. But we do take them a lot. We'll go to places that have great hiking. You know, we've been to North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky has some great hiking. New York, a lot of great places to go hiking. So we do that to get away, because we're both, my husband and I, are outdoorsy and we like to do those things. And then occasionally we'll take off without the pets. And I like to go to the national parks. Most of them don't allow dogs on the trails, so they have to stay at home, which is unfortunate, but I understand it's wildlife. So we go to a lot of the national parks, and I hope to hit as many as possible over the next 10 years of my retirement.
I like that. You are the business of the year for NAPS. And pet sitting, when you're licensed, insured, and bonded, is a profession. It is not a hobby. So what message would you like to leave with to people who have pets? We love them. They're our most priceless asset as far as really investing in a professional pet sitter instead of a kid down the street.
Well, that's, I feel like I've kind of answered that. I mean, it's just for peace of mind, right? Your animals are like your children. So you want to get the best possible care you can. The kid down the street might be fine, but I wouldn't do it, which is one of the reasons I decided to start doing this, because I had a hard time finding somebody that I trusted and I felt was reliable. So, you know, I think going the extra mile for your furry family members or scaly family members or whatever it is.
Or hoofed ones, yeah.
Or feathered or whatever they are. I think it's definitely worth it. And, you know, unfortunately, you hear the sad stories of the neighbor kid that accidentally let the dog out and he got into the road, or they forgot to show up and let the dog out. I mean, you do hear those things. I guess that can happen with a professional as well, but a lot less likely.
Well, that's good. Hey, we're speaking with Lucy Cryan. She runs Cryan Enterprises in Westerville, Ohio, and she was named Business of the Year by the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. That's a top dog award. She's come through a lot in life. She was in academia, and I just love how you keep reinventing yourself, Lucy, and I want to congratulate you on this award and thank you for being so compassionate to all kinds of animals.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was really fun.
And I also want to do a shout out at this time to my producer. Mark Winter is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. And Obehave, guess what, guys, was named the first week in January as the Pet Podcast of the Year. We were the top pet podcast. We have been on the air since 2007, so we are also the longest running weekly pet podcast on the air. I think we're going to Mars next, Mark. I don't know. We'll check it out. Until next time, please, guys, check out my YouTube channel. It's Arden Moore, and be good to your pets. And so this is your host, Arden Moore, with just two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Obehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.